a description what you can expect, but there are a lot of things which we have not told you because of time, the time factor. But before I start, I must again come back to my gratefulness or gratitude. I'm very, very happy that you have come, because this retreat is really a pioneer retreat. It is something which, at least, I'm not aware that this is taught of in our movement. And it is, with a very, very good reason, a pioneer project, which you will hear a little bit later. My gratitude is there because I always think of people come to attend my retreats, then my purpose in life is fulfilled. I would like to be an inspiring person who leaves everyone with whom he comes in contact with deep impressions, how they can improve their life in general, and also, of course, with special emphasis, the spiritual paths in their lives. But the program which I'm about to present to you these 4 days is unique because it does include the whole spectrum of our life. Our life as human beings, and it will offer a lot of improving suggestions and exercises, and our life as souls in this world. Let me describe to you now how I stumbled across the Tree of Life. It was maybe 6 years ago, that I had to be committed to the hospital for a surgery. It was harmless, but after the surgery, I contracted what is called in German sepsis. It's an infection of the whole body where all the organs shut down. And I had to be recommitted to the hospital, and it all culminated in one meeting with the doctor. The doctor said, "This night, which you are about to enter, will decide whether you live or whether you die. We have done everything medicine or modern medicine can do for you. Now you better pray." I said, "I'm praying all the time." "Good. Increase your prayers." I survived the dark night and am here. And I remember before I was released from the hospital, the surgeon called me to the side and said, "Monk, you better take care of yourself." I said, But I like what I am doing. I know I sometimes go to exhaustion and beyond exhaustion, but I like what I am doing." And he said, the doctor said, "I also like what I am doing. But I know if you don't maintain what God has given to you, the body and the mind, then your soul will be only a short time with us in this world." These were the parting words of the doctor. Afterwards, I went to Bosnia, and high in the mountains, I began a program the personal program to recuperate from the shock. My body was thin like a line on the wall, so emaciated, and I needed to do something. And I took two books with me, the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it was there where I stumbled about something which surprised me at the beginning, but which was an important puzzle for developing the Tree of Life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke about that we need to take care of the body and the mind. He says those rules to keep the bodily properly nourished so that one can remain healthy are bodily rules. Such things are regulated: drinking, eating, sleeping, exercise, and for sickness, prescriptions of cure. If a person does not follow these rules, he cannot pass through life smoothly. Then he became more explicit. He says, by not taking care of these physical and emotional needs, the mind will be dominated by sinful thoughts and atheistic attitudes. Finally, man will become no better than a beast. Therefore, these bodily and mental therefore, to fulfill these bodily and mental needs is very necessary for the success in human life. When I heard this, I thought, wow, now I understand why my spiritual master said, after he had presented Krishna consciousness throughout the world, that only half of his body, half of his work, I'm sorry, was done. He had given spiritual knowledge to perfection, but he had not had the time to give things which help us to keep body and mind in a state where it is very, very easy to practice spiritual life. In my travels throughout our movement and my visits to innumerable spiritual societies and movements the world over, I have seen that people have a lot of spiritual knowledge, but at the same time they lack basic, knowledge how to keep body and mind together in such a way that there is enough income and enough health and enough emotional well-being. And often the people in spiritual movement, because they lack this area, appear to be uprooted. I have seen this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur here says, if you don't take care of these needs, and I would like to say, in a way which is favorable to your spiritual development, you will not come very far. Now, as I was reading these statements, and as the sentence of the good doctor, you better take care of yourself, rang in my mind, I was up there in the mountains in a wooden house, and before my window there was a wonderful tree. It was a very big tree, the type of tree which you find when you come here to the community hall. And, you see on your right side where the valley is a beautiful lake with an island, and behind that island you find a beautiful the tree starts to flourish now, but a tree which has these You have to help me. Oh, is it overarching branches? They just extend from the tree for a long while. It's a beautiful big tree, and if you have not yet inspected it, please look at it when you come next time here, and so on. So before my window was such a tree, and which what was so nice for me to see, every evening the cows, which were wandering free in this area of the mountains, and the horses started to come under the shelter of this tree to rest for the night. And whenever I would go to bed, you know, switch off the light. I'm usually an avid reader. I like to read up till 10 o'clock. So when the time came for me to switch off the light, I went to the windows and said, "Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen." And after 7 days, the cows and the horses were trained. They understood this was the final announcement. "I'm going to switch off the light in 2 minutes, so you better find your ultimate resting place so that you don't have to stumble around in the darkness." Then I switched off the light, and we slept together. When I woke up, they were gone already to assemble the next night. When I looked at the tree who was giving shelter to so many people, I was just so ill still, and so sick and so weak, I found myself saying, "My dear tree, if you can speak to me, please speak to me and tell me what is your secret." I didn't expect to understand the tree language. I thought of some insight which I would have when seeing the universal form of the Lord, which is, the tree is part of that. So after some time, I had a discovery. I understood that the human being, much like the tree before my window, needed to take care of 4 areas in order to stand tall and strong. It needed to have roots, deep spiritual roots. We need, just like the tree, a sturdy trunk with a protecting bark. So we need a physical and an emotional well-being in this world. And just like the tree who gave warmth and shelter to all these animals who assembled each night without fail under its branches, we as human beings are social beings who need to be good in our relationships and take care of others. Well-being, in other words, is a state of complete spiritual, physical, emotional, and social fulfillment, which comes about when these 4 areas of life are balanced. I would like to draw something for you. I will somehow speak a little bit louder now, unless our Dvijavara is there.
Sorry, I walk up the mountain morning.
Every single muscle, as if I never had them before, especially the calves. Everything is fine with me, but it's just mountain warning gave me a warning. I have to take better care of my life. Think of your life as a circle. Just
delicious. And you might like to take this very simple analogy which explains to you the wisdom of the tree of life. You might like to actually make a drawing in your private time, you know, when you're not attending sessions. You will find four areas. You can start with any area. I will start here. There is a physical area. Physical. Our body, which needs to drink and eat and exercise and sleep well. Then there is the mental area.
Mentally, and you know, we well connected with others.
you will find it very easy because you are undisturbed, totally undisturbed by the body and mind incorporating you to go very deep in your spiritual roots. This is what I'm going to teach to you. I'm expecting that all of you will be self-realized souls and that you all will be leaving this place by walking 1 meter across the earth. It's what we say in German, but someone is happy, maybe it doesn't make sense in Australian language.
Sorry. You know, I'm talking about physical well-being and like someone who has been shot in 50 places. So there's something. So then I thought, tree of life, where is this in the Vedic scriptures? And I found surprisingly many, many quotations in the ancient Vedic wisdom. I would like to share one of the quotations which has been so nicely depicted here in this tree of life, which you can see, and there's the little brother of the tree of life. It speaks about the soul and God who live in the same, in a nest that is the heart, in the body which is like a tree. The language is somewhat philosophical, but I'm sure you can easily catch it. Sopanaveto satisho sakayo yadritsha jaitai kritanido cha vriksha. Vriksha means tree. By chance, there are two birds who have made a nest together in the same tree. These two birds are friends and are of a similar nature, the soul and God. One of them, however, is eating the fruits of the tree of the body, whereas the other, who does not eat the fruit, is in a superior position due to his potency. What the body or our life is referred to here is an analogy. It's a tree, and the soul and the super soul or God live together in this tree. They have made a nest together, the heart where they reside. And then in other texts in the Bhagavatam, it is described how this tree of the body has certain fruits, that is the karma, and when one lifetime is finished, the tree will fall, but the seeds of the tree will easily go into the ground, and another tree will come, another body. So then, after I had these three things, a surgery where I almost died, the reading of Bhaktivinod Thakur's book, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where he gives a formula for well-being to take care of these four areas and balance them properly. And finally, my discoveries in the Vedic scriptures, I put all this together to present the tree of life. Something which you will need to know is that we will present this tree of life as a program based on really the Vedic scriptures and what Srila Prabhupada revealed to us. And different from lectures, we will do this in an experiential way. In other words, you will make discoveries throughout the Tree of Life retreat where your physical, emotional, social or relationship-oriented and spiritual skills will grow. At times you might also be challenged. Because usually we make new discoveries when we leave a little bit our old circle, our old turf behind, and experience something new. For instance, we will do yoga with you. There will be an optional yoga class which everyone can attend if he or she wishes, by a talented yoga trainer. But there will be a group thing where everyone will participate. You will eat, we will serve you a special diet. You won't believe the diet. It will make you as healthy as you can imagine, I suppose. We will give you special exercises and so on and so forth. Because, see, this program is something which goes beyond the theoretical presentations. It is something which you have to experience to learn it. I would like to give you an example from Australia. I have a secretary who has come to Australia 2 years back. She's with us also this evening. It is the facilitator. I will introduce her. And she learned surfing 2 years back from Prem Kishore, the surfer guru from New Zealand. She was so happy with her experience. She was surfing and there was a dolphin next to her, encouraging her all the way. For 2 years she was preparing in her private time her knowledge of surfing. And 1 month before coming to Australia, she looked on surface video, and 2 days back she caught her wave and was transported by the wave for a long, long time, and is now totally inspired to do this as something for physical well-being. But there are no good waves in Germany, so she will have to come to Australia again. She learned surfing by surfing. How do you learn to play an instrument? Well, you have to play it. And then you begin to feel the music, which is something else than the notes, the theoretical representations of the music. So in the same way, in this program, Tree of Life, you will best learn it by making an experience of what it means to contact the powerful force of nature called sattva, the powerful wave, if you so wish. I must tell you, 3 years ago, I completed my Kartikvrata, and then I went for an Ayurvedic checkup into an Ayurvedic hospital, and I was not prepared what happened there. The chief doctor explained to me that health can only be found when you are living a sattvic life. And he taught us how to eat properly, how to sleep, how to enhance our personal meditation, how to live basically. And then there was massage and medicine and so on, and all this together created such a powerful experience of sattvic life that I thought, now I understand why Srila Prabhupada gave us the diet which he gave us, and why he taught us to drink milk before we go to bed, and all these small little details. I made a discovery of the powerful wave of sattva gun, and and in this way became highly inspired. What we teach you today, doing this retreat, is only an overview of living in balance. It's something which we can teach in 4 days, but it will be good enough to start anew, for you to start with something very beautiful in your life and make it deep experience. It's one of 5 modules of the entire Vedic Way. The Vedic Way is a complete program of self-realization, and it's a very systematic course. And we will just try to present the first module today in an overview. Every day we will nourish these 4 areas in life and make real concrete and practical realizations. And I must tell you a little that this is different from your Hare Krishna festivals. A festival is something where you attend, where you take part, when you like to take part, when you sleep, when you like to sleep, when you dance, when you like to dance, when you eat, and so on and so forth. It's something which is not requiring your personal effort. Therefore, at a festival, you can make at best deep inspirations in your spiritual life. But this is more a training program. And therefore, I request you to do something which you are most probably not accustomed when you visit a temple. And that is to apply yourself fully to all the sessions which are offered in this Tree of Life retreat. I know I'm in Australia. I know I'm asking something almost impossible of you, but I know that if you understand why I'm asking this, then you will be able to do it. I'm asking you to do this so that you have an experience, a shift in your consciousness, and a shift in your overall well-being. And believe me, I've done this retreat a few times now. It really works. It doesn't work really because of me. I'm a very insignificant and useless person. But it works because we will contact very powerful principles which we will not just hear about, but we will experience them. And therefore we have done our best to give you a specially designed program in which you can experience the full nourishment of these areas. Of course, because you are spiritual people, I have taken great care of the spiritual dimension, because you expect this when you hear a Swami speaking, and I feel also most of my element when I do it. But there will be new discoveries, and you will have to learn like our elephant from Byron Bay. Ball is also good in this case. You will learn this. So I would like to now request my assistant and our facilitator for this retreat to present the program to you, and then we will go right into our first exercise, which will be really fun doing it. You will talk to your grandchildren about it still. It will be something. I will explain Banu Nandini. She is my secretary and works for me since 8 years. She controls my office, so to say, because I'm a rather unpractical person when it comes to internet and all the many, many, many arrangements and the financial aspects of our operation and all. She's not just an organizer, she helps in the research with a team who lives in Berlin. I mean, the team, other part of the team is in Berlin and really spread out all over the world by now, and coordinates this team. So I have to give her a little authority because she will ask us to do things which we are not accustomed to do. So, yes, Banu Nandini, you kindly talk about the program.
Hare Krishna. It's an honor just to switch this way. So, these are your retreat guidelines. So this retreat, you can note them down if you like, but I will just briefly explain them to you. They are not very difficult to remember. This protocol, or the practical part of the whole retreat, we have designed together in cooperation with a few psychologists who are also devotees and who are doing lots of research. One of them, Anandavati Dasi, she is part of our team and she is currently writing her PhD thesis on the topic of living in Sattva as a prerequisite to have good mental health. And one of her articles was published in a very important book which only doctors are reading in Germany. And so the price of the book is like 160 euros, something like this. And so we have been working with her. We have also been working with Dr. Raju, who is the personal Ayurvedic doctor of Sachinanda Swami, and Sachinanda Swami made this experience. And also we have been working with some other devotees, with yoga teachers and Ayurveda assistants and so on. So when asking them how to design the practical experience of this retreat, they said that definitely we should request you to have regulated sleep, because sleep is very important so that we relax our bodies and that we have new energies for the next day. So they say that at 10 p.m. definitely everybody should be in bed. Like, no talking, we should really have the lights off, so that at 5:30 latest we can all wake up and feel very fresh and energized. Because at 6 a.m. we should all meet here in this venue. And please be punctual, because we have to start at 6 o'clock because of the program. And at 6 a.m. in the morning, once we are waking up, we have taken a shower and everything, we are going to move out the tamas. Out, we will just say, tamas, please leave our bodies. We want to enter really sattva room. And for this, we will do a 10-minute exercise here with all of you together. It's nothing too serious. Anybody can do it. And we can do it in saris, in dhotis. There will be no lying around, no sitting around. We will do everything by standing. But this exercise will help us that our bodies and minds get really refreshed and really, like they say, the tamas will leave our bodies. So that for this to happen, we really need to request you to do this program, to have regulated sleep, and so that your body feels fresh. Then, during the day, we will serve you conscious, healthy diet. Conscious means that we will have light breakfast and light dinner. So we will serve all prasadam here, in this veranda, and we will have really just a little for breakfast. It won't be much, so we request you to not be angry with us if you feel hungry. It's an experiment, and the first day it's always a shock on the body, of course, especially if you used to eat cheese in the morning.
Cream cheese.
Lots of cereals and, you know, little bit heavy things.
Whipped cream. Italian pizza. With sweet Coca-Cola. No, Sprite. Pasta.
Yes, you don't hear all details before we take each of you. Maybe we're taking special meal at that certain time. But just to tell you briefly, in Ayurveda, it is very important that whatever we eat, that this food is transformed into energy in our bodies. And this is why it's so important to eat little in the morning, because our fire of digestion is not yet strong as it is in noontime, because our bodies very much correspond with the movements of the sun. So in this way, we will have little for breakfast, and then we will have very nice prasadam, large prasadam at 1 p.m. Also, those who are vegans can take prasadam here. We have been speaking to our kitchen crew. They will make enough preparations which are dietary. And same is with dinner. So we will have only light dinner. Like we serve to this evening, just a soup and some bread and so on. But throughout the day, you will have some food breaks. You will get some hot tea and hot water at certain times. You know, we will really give our body a lot of good energy by resting and eating. Then we will also have regular exercises, body movements, like the first one is starting at 6 a.m. Then we will offer you also a yoga class, and we will really encourage all of you to take part. It will be in the afternoon from 5 to 6. But also we will request you after you take meals, so just make a little walk to make you able to sit down, because it helps your digestion. So you see, it will be lots of many details, but they will all together give us this experience. And one very, very important thing is partner sharing. Because we learn many new things, and we have seen from some previous retreats, sometimes some devotees get a little bit, you know, shaky, because they're not eating like we are, or you know, we have an intense program. So it's good to share, it's good to have a partner. But a part of this, it's good to have a partner because reflection is very important in our lives. It's important that we imbibe deeply what we are learning, but it's also important for our mental health, and also by partner sharing these social needs. So it is fulfilling also our social needs. And for this to take place, we will give you also every day after each session just certain assignments which we do with the partners, but we will need now to do the partner-minded exercise and such kind of stuff and guide you into this.
Yes. Thank you very much. The exercise which we are going to introduce to you now, we have done in England and many other places. I don't know if in English you would say partner finding. That sounds almost like, you know, one lonely heart looks for another lonely heart. It's we use the term also buddy. Do you know what the buddy? Buri Jampavu, who's a very dear friend, says the sucker. So we will need an area which, where this exercise takes place for men, and then one for women. I suggest that you take the front rows of these chairs, both this side and that side, to the back, because people do have to do some walking here in this front part. Please all get up now, and maybe these plastic chairs you can please remove this one. Our Matajis, maybe if you remove Ananda Mohini, the plastic chairs, just put them to the back. We won't need them for this evening. Thank you very much. It's even because we will do some mindful walking for this. Yeah, it's all right. So I suggest that the ladies, because we will do separately men and women, go to this side, which is your left side and my right side here for the ladies, and the men here. Please remove this to the side, also das zur Seite, dass die da auch gehen können. When we start with the music, then I will request you to just move around more or less like circles, so you're many more than we expected. Like this, walk around in circles. And then when the music stops, then we request you to also stop. It's very interesting. When I was on Mountain Warning, I had Madhavendra Puri explain to me a little bit about the original residents of Australia, the Aborigines, and we got a beautiful, wonderful scientific class. And he told us that they would move while singing, and when they would stop singing, when the music was over, then they would stop and reside there for the day. So I thought they must have, when we put this exercise together, we must have felt the Australian influence, even when we did this in Berlin. So I request the men just to walk in circles like this, like you walk around Tulsi, could have brought a Tulsi Devi, the Matajis also, like this, and there will be music, nice contemplative music. And I request you to walk without making contact with anyone, not speaking to anyone or smiling at anyone. Just walk contemplative, like mindful walking, and be a little bit for yourself. Think a little bit about the retreat where you will make a transformative experience in your life. Just gather a little bit your thoughts for the evening, and then and look before you, not around you. Hello, my name is and so on, but just look a little like this, like I'm looking now. When the music stops, at that time turn around, and whoever you find at that time, he will be your buddy, a partner with whom you share things and do certain exercises throughout the retreat. It doesn't have to be the most sympathetic person in the room which you find. Anyone is good, because you will learn your social skills in dealing with that person. It's best if it's a total foreigner, or is it called stranger, person you don't know. But if it's not, if it's someone next to your door, that is also good enough. I think Krishna will make you meet the right person who is just perfect for you. So we will start now. Is there any question regarding the technical procedure of this exercise? It's clear, isn't it? Yes. Maybe we want to remove those backpacks and anything which is in the way to the side so that everyone can walk. I noticed the Mataji side is a little bit crowded, like it's always, which is good. Okay, so we are ready. You don't need to, you can mix, you can make shortcuts or so on, that the group gets a little mixed, like raisins and nuts. Close your eyes, I mean, not all the time, but sometimes. You want to be a little bit for yourself. Hey, boys, don't start to wrestle. Music is over. Now please turn to someone. Everybody found a partner, or who has not yet found a partner, please raise your hand and look around. Is there maybe someone else who has raised his hand that will be your partner? Everyone found? There's one raised hand. Just look around. Is there maybe someone else? Then you can join a group of two, and then you form a trio and not a duo. Alright. Now I request you to find yourself a seat with your retreat partner. You can take a plastic chair. Please offer him a chair. Or if you sit down on a cushion and it's still time, offer him the cushion. Anyways, if you sit, it's all right. Just sit in pairs of two, and then I will give you your exercise for today. Yamasaki. You can either take chairs, or you can sit on these beautiful mattresses. I notice whenever I request the devotees in Australia to build pairs, they start immediately talking. That shows me that you actually like these type of exercises where there's opportunity to share. All right, does everyone found a seat. Maybe we need more plastic chairs, and we or any type of chairs. All right. I would like now to request you to discuss two questions with your buddy or your partner. What was your motivation for coming to this retreat? Why did you come to the Tree of Life retreat? Someone must maybe have the motivation. Oh, I would like to learn something new, or you might say, oh, I thought a retreat, it's good, I can relax a little bit and do other things. And so what was your motivation for coming here? And be very honest, even if you happen to be a little superficial by nature, don't be shy to share this. Oh, there was something which was offered, and I thought, well, why not? You know, maybe it's interesting, and so on. Just share honestly what was your motivation for coming here. And then, very important, what do you hope to get out of this retreat? Maybe what we can do, we need this really. Bananini, you can maybe write down these two questions, because sometimes, at least this is what happens to me when I'm engaged in one task, I forget the other task. I don't know if it's because one gets older or so, or if it's because one gets more concentrated. So, two questions. You can start already with the first one. What was my motivation in coming here? And second of all, what do I hope for getting out? In the second question, even if you just stumbled into the retreat and you really didn't have so much of a motivation, in the second question, I request you to go a little bit deep. What do you hope to get out of this? I mean, something you will be able to get out of this, but what is your hope? Please, if your partner is a little bit silent this evening, if he's not such a talker, please give him or her ample opportunity to also share. In other words, take care that your buddy or retreat partner feels encouraged to also share. Thank you very much. Please start now.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
Being so enlivened, my God. obviously, you can continue after these sessions. When we have a buddy, is it a good Australian word? Can we say like this? Is it? It's borderline. Yeah, it's American. Maybe a retreat partner. Yeah,
is
it mate? Oh, that is too slang. partner is all right. Aniruddha is learned partner. Well, when we have this, the idea is that we reflect with that person certain things. Also outside of the immediate retreats. I at first thought, well, this is something for Matajis. They always need to share their minds and their emotions and so on to feel well. But I was surprised when I went myself on one particular retreat which was offered in Singhachalam. And we were requested to have these partners, and I actually did it. I felt what you speak out, you know, what is on your mind, and what you discuss, that somehow it gains another value. And when you hear another person's perspective, you really learn something. So. I will give you some tasks which you have to solve with your partner, and you will see it will be good for your overall experience of the retreat. I would like to close this first session before Bhanu Nandini tells us, you know, gives us an orientation about the next thing that is tomorrow morning. Maybe then we will also serve you a light dinner. Not maybe, but for sure. No, you had already. yes, because it was 7 o'clock when we started. So, I would like to tell you about the teacup. Once, there was a young man who collected old things. And after he had done this for a few years, he developed a particular liking for teacups, all kinds of teacups, from all types of cultures, Turkish teacups, Arabian teacups. He was from a rich background and he could afford to travel, so on one of his travels, he came to a very interesting looking shop. There was only an old man who took care of all these old things. Some of them had collector's value. He entered the shop and said, "Do you have teacups?" And the man said, "Teacups? Yeah, I think somewhere in the cellar I have one." He came and brought a teacup. It was a very beautiful teacup. It looked, from the patterns which were painted on it, to be like a Turkish teacup. He was looking at the teacup and inspecting it, and then all of a sudden the cup started to talk to him. "You don't understand," it started. "I was not always a teacup. There was a time when I was lying as a lump of clay in the ground. For a long, long time I was just lying. It witnessed the many things which went on above me, farming, wars. I was lying there until my master found me, and he took me out of the earth. He brought me home to his workshop, and he started to roll me on the table and knead me. It was quite painful. I screamed and said, 'Who gives you the right to do this? Please stop.' But he smiled at me and said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me on a potter's wheel and turned me around until I felt like vomiting. And I screamed, 'This is too much. Let me go.' He again smiled and said, 'Not yet.' Then he made me into my present form and started to put me into an oven, and it became hotter and hotter and hotter. I saw his kind face sometimes looking through the glass of the oven, and I screamed again at him, 'It's too hot in here. Let me free.' I couldn't hear him, but I could see how he formed his lips into the sentence, 'Not yet.' Then he took me out. And he took color and painted me. I smelled terrible. And I said, I feel like losing my appetite from smelling this color. Stop. He said, 'Not yet.' And then it came, the real torture. He put me into an oven, only this time it was double as hot. I just took all my strength and called out to him, 'Let me free.' He smiled, and his lips silently formed the words, 'Not yet. You're not yet ready.' Finally, after what seemed to be an eternity in hell, he took me and brought me to a shelf where I waited and waited and waited. Finally, I heard his steps. He took me from the shelf and he said, 'You're ready now.' If I would not have rolled you on my table and taken all the air out of you, you would have broken when I took you to the next step. If I would not have brought you into shape, you would never have become as beautiful as you are now. And if I would not have applied fire to you, you would not have had any consistency. And just imagine, I would not have applied color to you, how absolutely boring your life would have looked. Then I needed to again harden you and help you to become stable. But now you are ready. You are ready to serve. And then the teacup became silent. It seemed to the young man that there was a tear forming at the rim of the teacup, but he was not sure. He immediately asked the old man who had found this teacup in the cellar, "Is there a second one like this?" And the old man said, "No, it's a unique teacup. I only have one item on." The young man quickly bought the teacup. He took it home. And whenever he felt in life that he couldn't take it any longer, when he felt his life had lost its shape and meaning, when he felt that his life had lacked color, he remembered the lessons of the teacup. I'm telling you this story in order to point out to you, in order to become what you can become, in order to also make best use of the human form of life, which is such a wonderful opportunity, really. It is good if, like the teacup, you go through a few experiences in your life. Experiences which maybe at times be a little hard. I promise to you that I will not apply a lot of fire. I will not make you spin around that you feel dizzy and nauseous. But I have a simple request to all of you. What you are about to learn is just such a wholesome, wonderful, and I could say, yeah, ancient program. We will teach you this living in sattva, which will enhance your whole life. That please give me only 3 days of your life. It's not more. You have already gone through your first session. And just please apply these things. You will see that, like the teacup, something will happen to you which is very beautiful and very, very wonderful. This is my humble request. I know you will do wonderful. This is our ideal situation. You have absolute free time. There is no diversion and distraction here. We live on the most, on paradise. We live in paradise on earth here, on the farm. More ideal circumstances are really hard to find. They are wonderful. The ones whom I know here are wonderful people, very dedicated. They have come a quite long way to join us. So we have the opportunity to create and experience something wonderful together. And please, I promise to give my best. Please also give your best. We will now, at the closure, hear just how this continues tomorrow, so that you have an orientation for before you go to bed. And thank you for listening so patiently to the teacup, the lessons of the teacup.
Thank you, Maharaj. So, as I said, we will 9 p.m. It's good now, it is 9-ish or so. So it's good if you go now out and you don't engage too much in deep conversations and so on, because we need to wind down. So that's one tip. Otherwise, it's very difficult to fall asleep at 10 p.m. And then, like we said, try to wake up at 5:30 latest so that you can make it to be at 6 p.m. here. Or, no, sorry, 6 a.m. For the morning exercise. Like they say in the Vedic scriptures, those people who are sati, they come 5 minutes before the actual beginning of the session. Those who are in Rajagun, they come just on time. Amazing. And those who are in Tamagun, they come 5 minutes too late. So tomorrow we will test it. No, you really have to start at 6 a.m. with the exercise. And then...
And yes, very important. Yeah. We need you to be all there. How can we start without you when we see you just panting and puffing up the steep incline to get here? It would just be so merciless to start without. And that's an exercise where if you miss the first part, the second, it's waking up the gates of your body. You know, it's really, you will wake up like anything without sweating. It's very gentle. Now, if you come too late for this, it won't, you won't feel it so good. So be there.
And then at 6:10, we will serve you hot water, just a cup of hot water. And this will be served outside, so it will be good if you all take it. And then we come for a group japa session with Gaura Hariprabhu, who is very experienced in this. And many of you have visited his group's japa sessions during the Polynesian retreat, and you have appreciated it so much. And then we will start at 7 a.m. with morning prayers here in the community hall as well. And we will finish by 7:30. So if for some reason some of you really cannot make it for 6 a.m., like I see there are some others with children or something, is that please try to be latest at 7:30 here when we are starting our day with the lecture. But we really, really, really would like you all to be there at 6 a.m. Yes, and then we will tell you more details tomorrow morning about how the day will progress. Thank you so much, and have a good rest, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.